Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to this episode of This Dude Started Something. Today, our guest is a Beast Games contestant, number 991, Jeremy Grant. It was the number one show in 82 countries, and the finale is next week. We want to give a special thanks to the Beast Games PR team for helping us make this happen so quickly, giving us all those approvals, and Jeremy for, of course, responding to his DMs and giving up some of his time to come on the podcast. So, Jeremy, our first question for you is, how does one get on Beast Games? How did you end up on the show? Because me watching, I was just thinking, how did they do this? I would love to be a contestant.
Man, it's cool. A lot of people think it's really difficult, but it's not. You just have to travel to the most northern part of Alaska. You need to find a just untouched glacier. Need to chisel out a piece of ice, and then you need to deliver that fresh glacial water to Jimmy before the ice cube melts. So it's like that kind of a combination. So it's really not that hard. I don't know why more people didn't apply. It was actually pretty cool. My journey with the Beast team started like 4.5 years ago, where I was actually watching a 24-hour live stream. I don't know if you guys remember the last time Mr. Beast was signing t-shirts.
Yeah.
I was up all night editing a video for a project, and I was like, look, we're going to put the boys on. We're going to watch them. We're going to be up all night anyways. And they actually picked my name out of the comments, out of the millions and millions of comments, for a chance to be in a video, 24 people for $1 million. And fast forward, that video actually got postponed. I made it into a different video. And after working with the team, it just kind of solidified I wanted to work with them. And there was the casting that they were looking. And someone was like, hey, we're recruiting people for this video. If this is something you're interested in, fill out the paperwork and we'll see if you fit the bill. So they reached out. I filled out the information online, submitted a little cell phone clip of just talking about who I was, talking about some of my experience with polar bears. And next thing I know, I have a phone call, I don't know, less than 30 minutes later for that first stage of the audition. So you just got to apply, do the paperwork, put in the video, showcase who you are. And they like to work with cool people. So I lucked out.
That's sick. That's crazy. So you said the first audition, what was that process like? Like, how many stages was that?
I believe there was two or three, and it's more of like a vetting process. Like, they see the video, they check out your personality, then I believe the next step was they take a dive into your social media just to make sure there's no red flags or anything like that. And then you just have another follow-up phone call. And then after that, there's a process where I'm trying to think if this was before Canada. Can't remember if it was episode zero, episode one. It was episode one. So even after you made it into the YouTube video, they put you through a vetting process to make sure that you're mentally sound, you know, where there's this, I think it's like 100 question quiz of just random stuff. You answer it honestly, and it's a psych eval to make sure that you're equipped to be in these high intense situations. And then that's when we finally got the green light. But again, let's not overlook Vegas. You know, just making it to episode zero was massive, but like 2,000 people all just working so hard to be a part of history. Like, this is the first time this has ever been done. And that was wild too. And again, there's no hack for that. Like, you just had to be there and you had to really grit it out and pass those games to make it through to the official Beast Games show.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, this is one of the biggest productions, I think. I think it had, like, the most cameras. It broke, like, multiple Guinness World Records, I heard, which is absolutely insane. That's really cool you got to be a part of it. So you mentioned polar bears. I just want to dive into that. I've seen the polar bears on your Instagram. How do you even, like, get close, build a relationship with a polar bear? Like, what was the first time? Like, how'd you do that?
Man, it's a little nerve-wracking, and it's also just one of the most exciting things you can ever experience in your lifetime, because a polar bear is the largest apex predator in the world. Like, that bear is constantly hunting you. It's constantly going to be trying to eat you. And what my job is I get dropped into these remote locations in the subarctic to be a polar bear guard. And that is to make sure we all stay alive. So I initially get dropped into these locations and I need to assert dominance with these bears to let them know that I'm not on the menu, which is easier said than done, because we also want to keep them in their habitat. We don't want to scare them off, but we need to build that respect. And a local told me during my polar bear training, he's like, look, bro, these bears have never seen a mirror. So, like, if you see a young bear, their face isn't all scarred up, they do not understand how big they are. They do not understand how powerful they are. You run into a bear that looks like, you know, his face is all scarred up, like, he knows how big he is because he's thrown down. So your approach for these different bears are different, where, you know, if it's a juvenile bear that's maybe 3 or 4 years old, a small guy, maybe only 800 pounds, you're able to assert dominance easier. You know, because it doesn't know, like, what is this guy? Most of them have never seen a human. You get some weird hairy guy like me out there screaming at them, and they second guess it. But then you get the big boys that have thrown down, you know, that's 1,100 pound bear standing at like 11 feet tall. That's a different story. He can just look down at you and be like, bro, like, I'm your snack. But again, the same philosophy is the same. So you need to let them know immediately that you are not on the menu. So there's a couple different techniques, but I'm not going to bore you about it. But it is the first few times it happens, you're like, you know, I really hope this works. And then it's like parachuting. You do it wrong once, well, you don't get a second try. And I've had quite a few polar bear encounters. I think we're up to like 370 something, where, you know, we've spent like an extensive amount of time within 15, 20, 30, 100 feet of these just massive bears. I don't know. I could nerd out about polar bears for at least a couple weeks. So
that is crazy. I'm sure the beard probably helps with asserting dominance with the bears as well.
I mean, that's usually my go-to approach. Like, one of these big boys comes up, I'm like, yeah, you're furry, but where's your beard, bro? Like, even really a bear? Like, where's your rep? And they're like, look, we don't have a beard. We don't want any trouble. We're sorry.
That is awesome, dude. So how did you even get into that? Like, how did you become a polar bear guard?
Man, life is one of those just incredible things where if you are willing to live your life, if you're willing to put yourself out of your comfort zone, if you're willing to get out there in the world and embrace the people around you and communities that you find yourself in, you're going to make some really cool connections. You're going to make some incredible memories, and you're going to live a life that most people will never believe. And it was one of those things where I happened to know a guy who knew a guy, and these two dudes talked to this one guy about me on an opposite location, which was kind of funny. Like, some dude knew me from my past for, you know, my backcountry skills, my ability with a gun, and another guy reached out to the same guy that knew me from my media company. And this gentleman was looking for a dude that was really good with a gun and really good with the camera, not afraid, and loved being outdoors. And my name came up. And next thing I know, I'm sitting here editing in my office, and some guy's like, hey, you want to go live with some polar bears in some fields of purple flowers? And I was like, what kind of prank call is this? And then he's like, hey, hold on, I'm going to send you some videos of the location that I'm thinking of. And it was a yes immediately. Like, I knew the location. I'd seen a wildlife photographer post a polar bear from this exact location that I had to like stop scrolling, do some research on. Like the shot, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. It was from Martin, and it's a top-down shot of this massive polar bear just sleeping in a bed of purple flowers. And I'm like, where on earth does this place exist? And then a year later, they're like, hey, do you want to come live on this island and keep that guy alive? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'd like that job. I'd like that quite a bit. And again, I run a film and media company, so part of my requirements where I get to document as much as I want while I'm there when they're not actively filming. So I get a few weeks beforehand where I'm living alone. I get weeks after while I'm living alone, tearing everything down, where that documentary crew is gone. So it's literally just you and the bears. So it's, I don't know, it's wild. Again, just embracing life and being willing to, you know, take on these type of adventures and meet the kind of people that I've met. Same thing. That's kind of the thing that got me into the Beast Games. You're willing to say yes and put yourself out there. There's cool stuff in store.
That's great.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. I mean, that's a whole nother episode in itself about the polar bears. I would love to learn more about that. Going back to Beast Games though. So I'm assuming you had to take time off of being a guard. What was it like? Where did you go? Like once you found out you were in, how long did you have to pack and like get ready to leave and go to where you needed to go?
Man, there was a lot of prayer that went into everything. You know, after we made it through the first few stages, we're like, look, we're going to give Vegas a shot. That's only, you know, going to be about 10 days. But there was a good chance that I would have to leave the peak bear season. So I wasn't able to go to the subarctic because I guard in the summertime usually. Again, subarctic, no snow. It's beautiful. It's great. It's like 60 degrees. It's wonderful. But we're like, look, we're going to take a gamble on this financially. Like we're not going to get the guard money this year. But we really felt like my wife and I felt like this is where the Lord was leading us. Like he had something in store for us. So we took it, and it was kind of an open-ended thing where it's like, you know, it could be 6 weeks. And we had, I think, 11 days in between Vegas and going to Toronto. It might have been originally 11. It might have got pushed back a little bit. So that little reprieve in between actually helped me take care of the rest of the business that I do. Again, I'm a content creator for multiple accounts. A really good buddy of mine is one of our main accounts. It's Jacob Knowles, who is a fisherman of these red crustaceans in Maine that I'm sure you can guess what they are. So I was able to batch content for him. So while I was out competing in the Beast Games, his content was still flowing. But again, it was just, it's this massive gamble. Like I've got four kids at home. It's a huge commitment for my wife. But again, this is history. Nothing like this has ever been done on this scale. And we go into it, even to Vegas, like we're one out of 2,000 people. There's a really good shot. We're out immediately. So no harm, no foul, give it a shot. But then we just kept going. And then we were there longer and longer and longer. And it was like, Lord, what do you got going on here? Like, what is this? This is incredible. And each day was just a blessing to see what that next stage was, what that next step was, to get to know the team better, to see just this massive production, like you mentioned earlier, that has broken so many world records. I mean, it was truly an honor to be a part of.
Yeah, that's just incredible. Man, I so wish I could have been there, but like, with the living arrangements, you said you were there for so long, you didn't expect to be there that long. What was that?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I kind of like being in such a foreign place with foreign people. I believe you were all bunking together, or like at least you were bunking with people. You certainly didn't have your own room, I don't think. But if you could kind of share what that was like along that process, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I find myself easily adaptable at what the world throws at you. Again, if you're willing to embrace a situation, you're willing to embrace a moment in time, like, you're going to learn something from it. You're going to get something from it. If you just sit back and, you know, worry and whine about what you don't have and what you're missing what's right in front of you. So when I went into the Beast Games, it was the same thing. There's no cell phones. There's no internet. There's no distractions. It's just you are in this environment to embrace it to its fullest. And again, we're surrounded by all these people. So if you're willing to embrace a community of people, you're willing to find people that you can get along with really well. Same thing, you'll meet people that you don't get along with. That's the real world. But I made some truly remarkable friends in Vegas. And to kind of all of our surprise, like, yeah, we're all competitors. We're all here to win. But each day is like, holy cow, we're here again. And as soon as we made it to the city, that was kind of like our first reunion from some of the homies from Vegas, because on episode one, we're all on these trap doors, you know, for days. It took multiple days to film that. It was a couple days leading into it where we never saw each other. And it was like a roll call. So as soon as those Jurassic Park style doors opened up, you know, we're sprinting into the city and we all kind of congregated towards the same bunkhouse, where right below me was my really good friend, Jeff A31. Him and I are brothers for life. On the bunk next to me on the top was my buddy Cody. I can't remember his name, his number, but he's the kombucha king. He's a OG Mr. Beast contestant. I think he's technically been in more Mr. Beast videos than anybody else. So he's there. And then my buddy Patrick, 930, he's on the bunk below. So, I mean, we're surrounded by friends. So it kind of felt like, I'm not a huge gamer, but it reminded me of like Nuketown from that old Call of Duty game. But imagine like Nuketown summer camp. Like,
I could definitely see that. Yeah.
Like, you're running around, everything looks cool, but everything is also slightly poor quality, if that makes sense. Cause it's a film set. Mm. Like, it was made to be a city, but like the bunkhouses, they're cool. The beds were comfortable, but there's no insulation. So if it's cold at night, it's cold in there. If it's hot during the day, it's hot there in the morning. Like, we would film most of the nights, and like an idiot, I took the top bunk, way too furry for a top bunk. And now as soon as the sun comes up at like 10 o'clock, because we were filming until sunrise, or sunrise some days, like as soon as that sun would hit the bunks, like, dude, it's just blistering hot. The basketball court was a little wonky. All the balls had like a bust in them. So you're trying to dribble and it's bouncing off sideways. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool. It was really cool.
I bet that felt kind of surreal. Did it ever feel like you were kind of like in a dream or something? Just being in that city is so like, it was like made, and I don't know how long it took them to make it, but there's cameras everywhere. Did it feel just kind of like unreal?
Yeah. The whole time, everything is just kind of surreal. And again, you just have to kind of keep reminding yourself of these different aspects. First off, it's a game. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I went into this game very, very clearly knowing who I am and not willing to compromise that for a game. So connections and relationships to me are huge. You know, if I give you my word on something in the real world, well, guess what? I don't care if this is some man-made fantasy world. This is still my world. My word is still my word. And if I'm going to win this thing, I'm going to do it the way I live my life and be a good example for my children and, you know, have that level of integrity. But then to the same level, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So you want to embrace each moment and try to enjoy it as much as you can. but never forgetting that first rule. Like, this is a game. At any time, a new challenge can arise. Like, some crazy thing can come up. Like, I've done three Mr. Beast videos before going into this city, and where others are, playing more games, I'm being a little bit more reserved on my energy, and just being careful that I don't hurt myself doing something stupid. Like, oh my gosh, I just ripped my knee doing a layup because I'm an idiot. And now all of a sudden it's going to be a standing competition. And I'm here like, well, just rip my ACL out because I suck at basketball. And now I've missed a chance at $5 million. So again, I would lean more into the personality side and the connecting with people side. And we're embracing this thing. Like you said, it feels like a dream world, but the people that are there with you are the ones that will forever truly understand what it's like. We can explain it to you guys as much as we want to, but it's still this surreal moment every moment of the day. And every twist in every game that comes up, it's just unexpected and wild. So again, you're embracing each moment and you feel like you're on borrowed time because you never know when you're going to go home. We're getting cut in half, 50% here. We're losing another 100, another 500. And you're like, look, embrace this dream because as soon as it's over, it's over.
Yeah. And you said, at the end of the day, it is a game. You are there for the $5 million. Everyone's competing against each other. I'm sure in your head, you definitely had an idea of what you were going to spend this $5 million on. And if you could share that with us, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I've talked about it multiple times, but this community is so important. And $5 million it's a lot of money. And if one person was to utilize that just for themselves, that can go a long way. I've got four kids. I could put money aside, which I would. But my first priority and my main goal with this is our church needs a building. And we're trying to start a co-op where we can, open up this wonderful education system for the community. And there was a building that went up for sale in our city, our town, that fit the bill. And I think it was like $1.2 or $1.4 million. So that was going to be the priority. Like, if I won, the first purchase was going to be this building for our community so we could have the community center and the church be there and just continue to spread that love and to build a resource for them. We also have an amazing soup kitchen because the poverty level in our community is high. It's hard. It's hard living in Maine. It's cold and it takes a lot of rugged work and the job opportunities aren't as vast as other places. And that food pantry has already outgrown its facility where it can't help as many people as it needs to. And it's doing everything it can. It even like door dashes to people that can't make it to the soup kitchen. Like, just wrap your head around that. Like, where else do you know that like the community is paying to door dash food to needy folks? So that those programs need support. And then obviously, we take care of our family financially with a home, nothing extravagant, but just a modest home, 6 months in the savings. And then I make a lot of content for other people, but there's a lot of content for myself that I would love to make. There's a lot of charities that I like to rally behind. And I would probably start doing a lot of stuff with that, where I would be utilizing my own social media more with my team to rally behind these fundraiser events and raise awareness to certain conditions. Again, even without the $5 million, like, that's still my mission. I'm still going to rally behind absolutely everybody I can. Actually, in 19 days, I'm going to be joining up with my good buddy, Jeff 831. His son has an ultra rare brain disorder. He's one of less than 400 in the world that's diagnosed with it. And we're going to ruck across the state of California, making daily content to try to raise funds and awareness to this condition. So again, money is great, but like, it's a tool to be used. And that's all I planned on doing with it. We're just going to use it to help push these goals forward. But the goals are still there and we're still going to work aggressively towards them every day.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, even though you didn't end up walking away with the $5 million, I'm sure you obviously brought a ton of hope to your community and that's super cool. And that's awesome, man. That's really respectable. I have a question here. So while you're in Now that you're out of Beast Games, do you have any regrets, you know, after seeing how it all played out? Do you have any regrets and decisions that you made?
No, I mean, I played the game I wanted to. I feel really good about the people I helped. A lot of people ask me about the $1 million. I get a lot of people that give me a hard time about that. Again, I got four kids.
That was cool though that you were able to. I mean, was there any hesitation there?
No, there was no temptation. Like again, those people gave me their word. We were just eliminated on floor four, and then we were resurrected. Again, my buddy Jeff is down there. I have a lot of amazing people were on that team that I had true relationships with, and a lot of people were mad about it. They're like, but you put these strangers before your family. And it's like, no, it's not that simple. You know, their dreams are just as valid as my dreams. And yes, I could have taken the money and I could have kept going. I know they are competition, but everyone had just turned down $100,000 multiple times to be there. So I knew how hungry they were to be in this game. So I definitely don't regret it. Yes, the money would have been great. One thing that lingers every once in a while, like I went out on chance. I wanted to do physical. I'm a physical guy, but I was putting my game into that realm of like, look, if I make it through this next round, I'm meant to be here. And then Jimmy spun that wheel of doom and it hit 14 and then it gracefully ticked back to 12. So we lost more people than anybody. And if Jimmy would have just worked out a little harder and spun it a little harder, we would have been on the back side of that wheel, and man, I would have been through. We would have been good. And it's one of these things where, you know, I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not going to think about this for the rest of my life, but there was a platform at a couple points where I'm like, man, I should move. And if I move, I should move to this platform in front of my buddy Dallin, who got eliminated right before me. I was like, Dallin, you should step forward or I should take that spot in front of you. I don't know why. I just kind of have that feeling and I'm continuing to pray about it. Like, Lord, just calm my nerves. Just help me have wisdom. Help me have discernment in the situation. And, you know, if I'm really meant to move, like put that stirring upon my soul where it's like, no, I have to move. And again, I was calm. And I don't know if that's because I'm used to standing next to polar bears and I'm a weird dude, but like I wasn't anxious. I wasn't worked up. So I stayed where I originally felt like I should be. Fast forward. Obviously, I fell. And that door that I was looking at, I talked to my buddy Nelly, who made it through afterwards. And he's like, bro, that door never opened. So if I would have moved to the platform that I thought, I would have made it through to the next round, which would have been cool. But again, God's plans are better. So I'm not going to live in regret with that.
Yeah. And what I was thinking the entire time I was watching, and I think you can answer this for us, is what is under that? How far do you fall? Because the editing crew did a great job making it seem like you just fell forever.
Yep. It's not as dramatic as they make it look. It's a few hundred feet. Usually you get enough time to catch your breath before you fall. And it's a giant pit of jello, which is awkward at first, but they have lifeguards there to pull you out of the jello. Jello is really hard to swim in, but it's hard to be mad when you're like knee deep, chin deep in strawberry jello.
Oh yeah. You just eat your way out of there if you need to.
That's it. Yeah. I was kind of hoping it would be kiwi, but you know what? We can't always get what we want. So in reality, like, yeah, they did a great job with the edit. They made it seem like a really far fall, but it was actually maybe 12 feet, maybe 14. And it's just like a giant pit of foam blocks. So it's just like, you'd see it like a gymnastic place.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
these big foam blocks. And it was funny because I fell through, and then I look up and I've got Jimmy and Mac like staring down the hole, being like, "Oh, he should have trusted his gut." And I was like, "Thanks, guys." I just wanted to stay in that little hole for a while, but they've got like a team that's like ready to go. They know where everyone's standing. There's like, it's like a little rectangle box and like one of the walls removes. And then next thing you know, that dream world is over and you're just like, wait, oh, I'm out. Like, that's $5 million down the drain. And
that's gonna be a crazy feeling.
It was intense, but it was cool. And again, you're still part of this. You're seeing the behind the scenes, and the camera guy in me is kind of dorking out that, you know, I'm enjoying seeing everything that's going on. And but it sucks to lose, but honor to be there. So technically, it doesn't show this in the show. They kind of play it out of sequence, but I was the second to last person to get cut before they took the 21 people through. So I got 23rd place.
Wow.
What the heck, guys? I use this camera for every podcast and I've never had this issue.
Huh. We could, I mean, if it doesn't work, I mean, we can always just use audio too. Like that's no big deal.
Yeah, we might have to. No, that's not ideal, but I have no idea why this is overheating so much. Yeah, it's giving me that same issue as before.
That's all good. We can just continue with audio if that's all right with you.
Yeah, let's rock it out and you can just throw a photo of a chimpanzee or something up there.
Like a polar bear or something.
There you go. Yeah,
polar bear.
I have a kind of a random question. So what was the food like during this whole process? Did they give you the food?
When we're on the platform, they would deliver us food for episode one. For Vegas, we would go up in like groups of a couple hundred, and it was just this massive line to get some food. And then in the city, the food was much better. And like you see Feastables Cafe, and if you look, there's like all of these little doors, you know, just little tray doors, and they'd just be filled with food a few times a day with multiple options. So you just kind of walk up and it's like, oh, it's lunchtime for the next couple hours. Just like roll up and grab whatever you want. Oh, you're hungry? Grab more. And then at all times, it was a cooler stocked full of drinks. You know, you had like protein shakes and Feastables and bubbly water and regular water, stuff like that. So there was always something available. And legit, like the food in the city was pretty decent. Like there's a couple nights where it was like, oh, wow, this is like – really stinking good. They had like some barbecue sandwich one night and they had steak another night. Like it was good.
Wow,
that's nice.
It was decent.
That's cool. How did your family and friends, like, how did they react when you told them? I know you kind of talked about, you know, your family and your wife and everything supporting you with your decision to go on Beast Games, but how did everybody react to that? Were they really, really excited? Were they kind of sad that you're going to have to go for a while? Or what was that like?
Well, the thing is, you can't tell anybody. Like, like when you're leaving, like we're under an NDA. I can't tell anyone that I'm in Beast Games until the first episode of Beast Games comes out.
Oh, that's so crazy.
You just have to tell people like, hey, I'm not mad at you, but I'm not going to have my phone for a bit. And again, with my life, people are kind of used to that by now. They're like, all right, he's up to something.
That's true.
But, you know, it was hard on the family. Like, they knew why I was doing it. The kids were kind of excited. You know, the Mr. Beast thing, I don't think they understand yet. They're all getting a little older and starting to understand, like, how big he actually is. But, like, they're used to seeing me on YouTube, so it's all the same. Like, if I'm working with my lobster fisherman buddy or one of my videos, like, they almost get more excited to see me on the local news than they do, like, the Mr. Beast stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, you're just going to go hang out with Jimmy. Like, I get it. so it was kind of cool. And then the other thing with Maine is, like, Mr. Beast isn't big in Maine. So like really? Even after the fact, like I don't have a lot of people like, oh my gosh, how crazy was it that you were in the Beast games? They're like, oh, I heard you're on some show with some dude. And I was like, yeah.
Little do they know, wow. It's like the biggest show. That's crazy.
And then it's like, I'll go through an airport and then people are like, oh my gosh, you're the dude. And I was like, yeah, I did that thing. That was kind of cool. Wow, and it kind of takes me by surprise. Like I get recognized out of state more than in state.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I didn't even think about that. Like, I mean, you're almost kind of famous. How is that like weird or like, is it, do you like it or is it kind of, I guess with you up there in Maine, it's kind of not near you as much, but yeah, I don't know. What's that like?
It's interesting. Like I enjoy the joy that people get from the show and it's kind of cool to be able to answer questions, like just to talk to a couple guys like you. And just when someone comes up, they're like, hey, what was that like? Like, I love sharing stories. Like, I feel like life is a story as a content creator. Like we pride ourselves on creating content that we want to share with people. So I enjoy that. And like, I think what made it really cool for me was the first time I was ever spotted. I was in Death Valley in the middle of a training ruck and there's like nobody there. Like we're in the middle of nowhere.
Somebody spotted you out there?
And Jeff and I are rucking. And the next thing you know, like a car drives by and then it drives by again. And then two dudes jump out of the car. They're like, hey, you're the guy from Beast Games. And I was like, man, out of all the places in the world to be spotted, like this is cool. Like in the middle of nowhere. Cool. And same thing. They just had, you know, similar questions to what you guys had. So it was just fun. A couple dudes just chatting on the side of the road. So it was cool.
Pretty cool. Dude, that's awesome. Have you rewatched Beast Games? Like, I'm sure you probably have, but do you run it back and do you notice anything different than when you're actually there?
It's funny. I noticed things that I talked to people about, and it's interesting. Like some character development that I called out to some of my friends. I'm like, yeah, this person's, you know, playing like a crazy game that you're just not seeing. Or like this person's, you know, their intent is going to be in this direction. I've been doing a lot for Jeff831, his social media campaign. Again, him and I are brothers for life. I love his mission, love his heart and everything he's doing for his son. So I've been rewatching everything a lot to, you know, kind of cut micro content. Yeah. And then.
And is he still in it?
Yeah, he's top 10 right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're probably rooting for him then.
Oh yeah, my boy Jeff, Gage, Patrick, like they're all incredible. And that's the really fun thing, like watching this back and going like, oh no, like these are homies. Yeah. And the fact that some of my best friends from the game made it as far as they did, like it's cool to see that and to know in like a small way, like I helped them on their journey. Like Jeff was on floor 4 with me. And if I would have taken $1 million or whatever amount of money, like his game would have been over. And then the helicopter scene, no matter how dramatic they made that edit look, like, you know, I brought Jeff and Patrick because those were guys that didn't even know each other at the time, but I had really strong bonds with where I'm like, no, these are two men that I really, really trust. And if one of these guys were to go win, I know they're going to utilize this money in just a fantastic way besides just like taking care of themselves. Like Gage isn't getting as much screen time as I think he deserves because he is a quiet guy, but he is just such a stud. Like, first off, like ultra athlete, and humble dude, also like EMS, first responder, like dude puts himself on the line for others constantly. And then on top of that is just a phenomenal musician. Like dude's got just a crazy good voice, amazing on the guitar, but again, just a really cool guy. So to know that like I picked those two and Patrick and I are like best friends too. But again, I only picked two hoping one of them would pick a woman. But then when Jeff picked Patrick to go on the helicopter, it's like, man, my heart was full where it's like, man, this is one of my other best friends. So now looking at the show and going, man, all three of those dudes are still right there that I brought on the helicopter with me. It is a cool feeling.
Yeah, that's really cool. It'll probably forever be like your favorite TV show. Like you were in it, and now some of your best friends are in it. Like you get to watch them. That's pretty cool to think about. What'd you, from all of this and after your exit off of Beast Games, like what did you learn? What was the biggest thing you think you learned while you were on that?
I don't think I learned anything new, but I think it just continued to confirm the power of being in the moment and valuing people over self. And again, I understand it is a game. I understand that. Yes, it would have been great to win money, but the relationships that I was able to build in the time that I had there, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but I mean, it's worth it all. Like, again, you know, Jeff and I, Patrick, Gage, we're all really close where they will truly be, you know, deep friends of mine for the rest of my life. And if I would have played the game more, you know, stoic, you know, not worrying about other people, not worrying about, you know, keeping my character or my integrity, and I just went in ruthless to play, I feel like I would have really missed that. So it just kind of confirmed that in my heart, like, no, this is the way life is supposed to be. And to just kind of continue to take that into the real world. Like anytime I come back from an expedition or a camping trip or, you know, time in the subarctic where you're away from stuff. And that's why I love, you know, camping in backwoods so much, is you're forced to be present in the moment. And it just kind of confirmed in me again, like, yes, even in the world, like as crazy as it is and as busy as I am right now, like in each moment, do your best to be present in that moment. If I'm hanging out with my kids, I'm struggling to do the best I can to be just present with my kids, that I'm not doom scrolling on my phone, you know, worried about what's happening on social media. Like when I'm focused on a client for work, like, no, I'm diving in. I'm focused and, you know, applying myself as heavily as I can be into that moment. And you just get so much more out of life that way.
Yeah. That's awesome. Oliver, you got something?
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more like about your kind of social media marketing company? Is that what it was?
So I just run a small film and media company.
Film and media. Okay.
Yeah. We kind of do a bunch of everything. Like I've been doing a lot in the social media world, like doing some coaching and content creation for, you know, people that I believe in. And then we do everything from documentaries to commercials, but
okay.
My passion is to tell stories for people and businesses that have a story to be told. And again, that's what got me excited about polar bears. I wanted to learn more about the narrative of how they are actually doing instead of just being spoon-fed climate change initiative. And sure enough, you go out and live with them and you document them enough and you're like, oh my gosh, 90% of the information that everyone thinks about these bears is absolute nonsense. Cool. All right.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Well, we've got a story we can tell down the road, you know, with my buddy Jacob, who I'm going to say your word, is a fifth generation lobster fisherman. And that's such a huge part of what is the heart and soul of Maine. You know, you've got lumber and you've got lobstering, which is like what founded this great state. So for us to be able to get together as friends and, you know, goof off, have fun, but we're also working and, you know, sharing his passion for what he does with the world is huge for me. And same thing with Jeff. Like he has a story to be told. He's an amazing husband, father, and he's out on a mission to try to help raise awareness to this ultra rare condition and help rare disease children all around the world. It's like, man, no, we can use media in a powerful way to tell a meaningful story instead of just mindless entertainment. Like, I want to use media to help inspire people and to help make change in these different areas.
That's really cool. So besides the film and media company, what else have you been up to, like, after your exit on Beast Games?
Man, this job keeps me so busy. You know,
I bet,
literally right before the start of Beast Games, I was out filming in Nome, Alaska. Like, flew from Nome, Alaska to the Beast Games. From the Beast Games, came back, a couple trips out to California, a couple trips out to Vegas, Philadelphia, just filming, just working, you know, trying to catch up on stuff with the, you know, my buddy and his YouTube channel. Got a little camping trip in for me, which was nice. You know, there's again, the logging industry is huge, so we've got some just beautiful, pristine forest. And there's these two massive locomotives that are out in the middle of nowhere that were commissioned to help the lumber industry for about 6 years. And they've been abandoned for quite a long time. So we call them the ghost trains. And they're sitting on one of my favorite waterways in the entire world, which is called the Allagash. So, you know, fall in Maine is gorgeous. So I went out there and saw peak foliage, took my dog out camping, and we just embraced in the woods, man. But besides that, it's just been grinding straight through to utilize the attention from the Beast Games to try to put any of it back towards, again, my buddy Jeff and his son's rare condition. If we can use this thing to draw awareness to this condition and we can help save some kids, like, that's where my mission's at right now. I won't get back to a normal seat until probably May, where I might look at what real life looks like again.
Yeah, and then
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, come May, that's summertime. I was gonna ask if you were gonna do the polar bear guard again this summer.
Man, that's it's gonna be a point of prayer for sure. You know, it's hard for me to plan too far in advance because everything changes day to day, week to week. Where, like, an email comes through from a client or Mr. Beast or something, and you just never know where you're going to be. In theory, it would be great to go back and do the polar bear thing. I do have a desire to, you know, build a little shack out there to be better equipped for other clients, that if I want to do that in the future. But the other thing too is, like, part of me in the back of the head is like, man, you know, if they pick up season two, maybe we give this another run. So I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, you heard it here. Jeremy will be back. That's cool. Does your buddy Jeff have a website or Instagram handle that we could shout out so people can check out his foundation?
Yeah, for sure. We're in the middle of getting his website up, but please take a peek at his social media. You can find him at Legacy831.
Okay, cool.
On Instagram and YouTube. We've got a couple podcasts on YouTube as well. Where he's interviewing someone from pretty much each episode. You know, you go back to his early stuff, him and I were talking about our experiences through, and now he's interviewing everyone about, you know, their experience in the show. So if you want more information there, it's cool. And then I'm also weaving in content where you're learning about his family, you're learning about his life, and actually in the middle of editing a documentary about his family and the condition, so we can try to educate more of the world. And then, like I said, tentatively, Lord willing, February 23rd, we're going to be standing on the Nevada-California border together, and we're going to strap on a ruck vest, and the more donations we get each day, the more weight we're going to carry, and we're not going to stop until we cross the state of California.
I mean, dude.
So that's crazy. The next adventure. So if you guys want to stay tuned, it's going to be in my stories, it's going to be in his, and we just need everybody to show up and just kind of share this. We want creatine transporter deficiency, CTD, to be something that someone's like, oh, I've heard of that. The big thing is, like, if you test for it early on, like at birth, before they're discharged from the hospital, it can be night and day from a regular life and a life with a full-time disability of not communicating and 24-hour care. because there's different mutations. So, you know, the more of us that can talk about this topic, we can literally change the lives of thousands, if not millions, of children.
What have you done? I mean, that's coming up February 23rd, you said. Are you doing any training for that, or what does that look like?
For me, it's actually like the most training I've had for one of these random adventures. So I'm trying to get in as much training as I can, you know, trying to ruck every day, every other day. We're getting close to that grind time. So it's going to be anywhere from 4 to 15 miles of training a day at this stage. But in the past, like I set a world record for running a marathon with a chainsaw, kind of on accident.
What?
So I did a...
Dude. It just gets more and more random. This is awesome, dude. That's so cool. Yeah.
Are you the only person to attempt that?
I think I'm the only one that's officially done it at the time, okay. Which is kind of funny. And again, it was another gentleman I heard about. He's like 63 years old. He's a logger and had an incredible story. There's this marathon in Millinocket, Maine, which I love, by the way. Like, it's a free marathon, so any of you runners out there or anyone thinking about running Millinocket, Maine, they do it in the dead of winter, and it's a free marathon because the community's lumber industry just got devastated, and it's a way to help support the community to keep going. So if we all show up from out of town, you know, we're usually eating, grabbing a souvenir, finding a place to stay, and it helps these families in the area keep going for the winter. But this logger was like, well, no one's really representing the lumbermen here. So he ran the half marathon with a chainsaw to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And it was going to be his last year doing it because, well, it's a really difficult thing. And his doctor is like, you're going to need spinal surgery. Like, this isn't normal. People don't do this. So on 8 days' notice, I tracked him down in the woods where he was working and just showed up like, hey, I'm some weird bearded guy with a camera and I want to help. And he's like, sure. And again, the way I do things, if I'm going to, you know, support you, I'm going to come alongside you and do it. And then after we filmed his half marathon, I was like, you know what? I've never ran a marathon before. So let's see if we can actually even do a marathon. And then I just went out and did another lap. Everything was shut down. There was no more support, but the finish line was still there. And we were doing a bunch of live streaming and documenting it for the film to raise money, where it counted as an official marathon. So it was the first recorded marathon run with a full size chainsaw, with oil in my bag, chain in the back. Like, we had everything.
Wow. So did you submit it to Guinness then, like afterwards, or?
So that was the problem. Like, it is not a Guinness World Record because you need to apply with them in advance. And then depending on how it's being used, like, I don't think a lot of people realize this, but you have to pay Guinness.
Yeah.
For a lot of this stuff.
We've tried to do some.
We have some tried and we got denied, so.
Yeah, our idea was also a lot stupider than that.
It was way, way worse.
I've humored going back and doing it to get the official Guinness World Record, but it's like, I know I did it.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Like,
exactly. I've got it. Yeah. I've got a video to prove it. What was your guys's stupid idea?
We were going to see how many fish fillets we could throw into each other's pants from 10 feet. So...
Now, are we talking like the full sandwich or just the filet?
No, the whole sandwich.
Bun and everything. So that would have been kind of, it would have been hard. It would have been probably impossible.
I mean, you would need some really big pants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was, you know, we'd probably have to wear those clown pants or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I still think you should do it.
All right. Yeah, because we thought it would gain traction. So maybe if we like make some reels out of it and then we just kind of do it that way. It doesn't even have to be Guinness, but we can just attempt it.
True.
Well, that's it. Like, how many people have, first off, like, how many people have done that? How many people spend time chucking fish sandwiches into each other's drawers? Not many. So, I mean,
no,
you throw 100 in each other's pants, you've definitely got a record there. And you've got one heck of a reel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've tried to do the, like, throwing hot dogs. That's a world record that I think it's like half a football field now or something. I've tried to do that one, and that one is hard. I've tried to do that with my friend, and it it didn't work. Like, we just couldn't do it. It was so hard to do. We thought about freezing the hot dog. It just, I don't
Oh,
know.
that sounds painful.
Oh yeah, it would have been tough, but it's crazy. I mean, some of the world records that people are coming up with, they're so random.
Well, that's it. Like, they're pretty much anything that you can think of that's really, really unique if you market it properly. But then again, it's that line of like, okay, what is the main purpose behind this? You know,
That's
sandwiches in your
true.
pants, like it, yeah, it's
Yeah,
got some
no.
views, but like not much of a fundraiser. And in my mind, it's like, look, if I'm gonna do something crazy, like I'm gonna do it to get some attention to help someone.
That's
And it's,
great. Yeah.
I don't want it
Yeah.
to just be like, look at me. No, it's like, how can we help the people that can't help themselves or are in the middle of doing everything they can to help themselves and still falling short? Because again, by the grace of God, that could be any of us, all three of us in this, conversation right now. Who knows what tomorrow's going to bring? And if we're not willing to put others before ourselves, like, man, there's going to be that moment in time where, we could use that help. And that's what life's about, man.
Man, you're such a cool guy, dude. I just gotta say that. Oliver, you got
Absolutely.
anything else you want to say, or what you want to call wraps here pretty soon?
I think we should turn the fish fillet idea into a fundraiser for sure.
I like that too. Yeah.
But yeah, we can start wrapping this up. We'll put all these clips together and it'll work out fine. So we really appreciate you joining us, Jeremy. Is there anything you want to say to your fans out there that watch UNB's games or any other videos?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for the support. It has been such a wild journey, and it's crazy I made it as far as I did. And just was just grateful for the opportunity, grateful for the love and support I've received from so many of you. Even going to thank the trolls for coming out of their caves, after episode 4 to blow up the keyboards. Like, I know you had to lick the chicken off your fingers to get that typing going on. So I appreciate that extra dedication. So keep it up, man. It's great engagement. But again, my mission's the same. Like, my goal is to live a life worth living and to be able to help as many people along the way as I can. And shamelessly going to plug the ruck again and again. March 23rd, we're going to be raising funds and awareness for creatine transporter deficiency, CTD. So get ready. I'm going to need everybody's help to help share this content because it's not something that we can do alone. But if we join together as a community as a whole, like we can truly, help save thousands and thousands of children worldwide.
Wow, that's so true. Make sure you go check him out at Jeremy T. Grant, and I believe it was Legacy 831 to find the foundation, correct?
That's it.
Awesome.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.